This is First Coast Forum, a discussion of the top local issues in our community. We welcome your opinions. Email your comments or suggestions to firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. First Coast Forum is a public service program of Cox Media Group Jacksonville.
Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. Whether you're a high school student or someone that has been in the workforce for years, you face now or even in the future the possibility of looking for a job or a career. How has the process changed over the years? What's the difference between a resume and a CV? We're looking at those questions and more. Today I'm joined by Marilyn Feldstein. She's the founder and president of Career Choices Unlimited. She's a job and career transition coach and author. Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So we're talking about career choices today. Let's start off with the people that probably need to think about this a lot right now. High school students, right? When we're thinking about high school students, what exactly should they focus on right now?
My recommendation is when you are a junior or a senior in high school, to start thinking about the things you really enjoy doing. The things that come easy to you, your natural skills, talents, and abilities, and start thinking about, just I would say write them down, start thinking about how they could apply to a variety of careers. So think of it as data gathering. I'm just trying to get an assessment of myself, not making any decisions, but just really understanding myself.
How could parents help them with this process?
Great question. So parents probably know their children better than the children know themselves sometimes, even though children may not think that. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for parents to say, I know you're really good at these things. So for example, if you think of sports, you might have been taking a leadership role, or maybe you've been very active in civic engagements or different clubs and you've been in a leadership role, or you really love public speaking. So when you look at those are skills. And when you look at those skills, then a parent could say, I want to help you enhance those. And one of the ways is to maybe get involved in Toastmasters. Look at the what's going on locally. Get involved if you really, maybe you are a shyer kid, but you excel when you're in front of people. There are lots of different ways that you can be in plays and you can be active in different roles. And it helps you get clear on how do I feel when I'm doing those things? Is that something I really enjoy doing or I don't like it at all? And parents could help their children by introducing them to people who are in certain careers so they could talk to them. I'm a big believer in informational interviews. I think they're very, very powerful. So you get a realistic preview of what kinds of things do you do in your job? You know, what does a particular day look like? Would I enjoy doing that? So summer jobs would be helpful, internships, and apprenticeships. There are a lot of apprenticeships in Northeast Florida.
I think it's interesting that you just said apprenticeships because it's not something that I think of readily nowadays.
Right. And I've been involved in the JCCI, the Jacksonville Community Council, Inc., and some studies, learned a lot about different apprenticeships. Not every student really is ready to go to college, and not every student should go to college, in my mind. So what else can you do with your life? And these apprenticeships, and then Duval County has quite a few, or Northeast Florida, they have the electrical, plumbing, welding. There are just numerous apprenticeships where they train you how to do the work, and they pay for you to go to school, and they pay a salary. And it's pretty amazing. And I have recommended that for several students who actually, some of them in college, where college just wasn't speaking to them, and then they went into an apprenticeship program because they were really good with their hands, using their hands, or maybe building things, and love it and have been very successful.
But some parents may say, I want my child to go to college. That is the way to go. How can a parent not look at the world that way?
Right. Something shifted in our country several years ago where we believed and we were convinced that everybody should go to college. I also teach a graduate course at Webster University, and my husband's a retired college professor, and I can tell you not everybody should be in college. And so I think as going back to what parents should do, I think you're doing your child a disservice if you're not really looking at them holistically and honoring themselves. So it's not about what you as a parent want your child to do or to be. It's their life. They're going to have to get up every day and go to work. They're going to have to live it. So I think, again, it's about honoring them and really playing to their strengths.
It's also about a parent knowing their child well enough to accept that as well.
Absolutely. And again, you can have a very successful career in a trade.
Oh, absolutely. Let's fast forward just a bit. And let's say I am an older adult and all of a sudden I just got laid off from my job that I've been on for the last 20 years of my life. How much of a culture shock can that be?
Sometimes that's a gift. And I like the way I look at that because I have been through 6 downsizings in my career. I didn't always lose my job, but I have lost my job. I've been on every aspect of career management. And I always say, take a deep breath. This is an opportunity for you to do an assessment of yourself and ask yourself 2 questions that are really important. What I'm about to do next, do I choose to do that? And the first question I would say, that would be the second one, is, am I able to do it? It could be absolutely I have the ability, but maybe I don't choose to do it. So in other words, just because I've done it for 20 years doesn't mean I have to continue doing it. And it's a wonderful time to then take a step backwards to assess everything you've done and look at that, find the common threads. And sometimes you can create a new career, which is what I did. I have remade myself at least 5 times. I think that sometimes people get comfortable, get stuck in what they're doing, and they don't, it's just routine. They don't really think about, do I enjoy it? And then you get the wake-up call of, uh-oh, I'm going to lose my job. Or I like to say, they're kicking me out, or I'm kicking myself out. And again, it's a wonderful time. I would highly recommend going through assessments, finding out what your values are, what your interests are, what your skills are, what motivates you. It's a great time you might want to get a career coach, somebody who can look at you objectively and say, have you ever thought about these things? And then you can repackage yourself. The majority of my clients are between 40 and 60. I do work with some high school students and I do work with a lot of college students. I create a lot of entrepreneurs, people who've always wanted to do something but have held themselves back. So going back to what you said, Julie, life is short. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. So wouldn't you be happier if you got up every day and you did something you really enjoyed versus what you think you're supposed to do or living somebody else's life?
Absolutely. I'm definitely a proponent of that. I love the saying where it says that if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I
love believe that.
I do too. But when you think about an older adult, you said that most of your clients are between the age of 40 and 60.
Right.
When you think about an older adult, how difficult is it to change careers? Seems like it could just be a daunting task.
Well, I believe that a lot of people think of it that way. And when you think about job search today, I don't know why people think this or believe this, but they think the only way to look for a job is online. So I lose my job. I'm not sure I want to continue doing that. I'm going to look online and find my dream job. And then I'm going to apply for it. And I'm just assuming that somebody who sees my resume and my application is going to hire me. So that rarely works out like that. And I hear this all the time. People will call me and say, you know, the only way to look for a job is online. And here's where things have changed. So yes, you can see positions online. Not all positions are online. Many of them are not. It's a hidden job market. However, the best way to find your next position is, again, to first figure out what you want to do, what your strengths are, what your skills are, and then rebrand yourself, both on your resume. Think of your resume as your written branding statement, so your brochure. And then your verbal branding statement is when you talk to people, are you keeping yourself back where you were? Or are you talking about where you're going? And then start meeting with people and conducting informational interviews and doing job previews. People, I will tell you, I know this market better than any market. And people in Northeast Florida love to help other people. We'll meet with you. And that's a myth that people think, oh, well, you have to apply online and nobody will meet with you anymore. That just is not true. In fact, I will say the one good thing that came out of the recession that we've been through is that everybody was affected. They may not have lost a job, but they know somebody who did. Everybody was affected by the market downturn. And so I think that's still in the back of our minds that, you know what, I want to do something that would be helpful to somebody else. And I can tell you, learning about what a position really is like. So for example, yours, I'm sure that people think you have the most glamorous job in the world and they don't really know what it looks like. So if somebody could spend a half day with you or a couple hours and find out what it's really like, they may say, oh, that's not for me, or that would be wonderful. So a lot of times what we think the position is isn't exactly what it is. So do a realistic preview. And through that process, what happens is somebody's really impressed that you're doing this differently than everybody else. And now I meet with you face to face. And either I create a position for you, or I have a position that's going to come up, or I know someone who is looking. And then that opens the door. When you talk, that's real networking. That opens the door for an opportunity. And sometimes positions get created just for you, which is the ideal. I have two clients that we are writing their position descriptions right now because the employer said, I want you on my team. So tell me what you want to do and how much you want to be paid. That's the ideal.
You talked about a few things, so we're going to rewind just a little bit.
Okay.
One thing you talked about is this resume. Now, something I've been seeing lately is CV, right? It says, submit your resume or your CV. And I'm thinking, well, what is a CV?
Okay.
What's the difference?
A CV is a curriculum vitae, and you'll see that for academia. So they absolutely want a CV. Or sometimes a higher level position. And those are documents that are pages long. So the rule of thumb for a resume is 1 to 2 years. Tell me what you've done in the past 10 years. That's the guide. A CV is, I want to know your whole life history. And so it could be 10 pages or more. And the difference too is in a resume, employers want to see your accomplishments. And I haven't really seen accomplishments in CVs, but I would highly recommend it.
But you say accomplishments, and then you have goals. When you look at some resumes, they're so not specific about what they're looking for or what they would like to accomplish. How specific should you be?
Okay, good question. So I don't believe in writing objective statements anymore. They've kind of gone away. They went away about 20 years ago. But you do need a summary statement at the top. And the summary statement should give a description of what you're looking for. So again, going back to your skills. Now, if you know 100% that I want this title, then you can put that in your summary statement. But the majority of people don't want to be limited by a title because you may eliminate some opportunities. So it's about your skill sets and what you're really good at. And then below that, below the summary, your accomplishments should tell the reader how those skills are supported by what you've done. So for example, if you are interested in project management, I want to know the projects that you've led. I want to know were they completed on time. I want to know what the end result was, what the goal was, what you accomplished. And so it's a little story, if you will, a vignette of what you've done that supports where you're going. That's what employers are looking for today.
Another thing I've noticed is these assessments, and they're kind of tricky. They'll ask the same question 10 times, 10 different ways. And I'm assuming to see if you're going to answer it the exact same way. And also to get a little bit of a read on your personality. Is there really a pass or fail for those?
Good question. Now, it depends on the assessments. There are a lot of different assessments out there, and employers have to be careful what they're using as an assessment tool for screening, because you don't want to eliminate a particular group or, you know, gender, et cetera. They're looking for who would be a good fit in that particular position. They're also looking for how honest you are. Are you answering the questions honestly about what you believe or you think, or are you trying to second guess what they're looking for? They can tell by your answers whether you're doing that. So I would highly recommend be yourself, be candid, because if it's not a good fit, you really don't want to be in that position, because it goes back to what you said, Julie, which is you really want to be happy in your position, and you will not be happy if you're struggling to accomplish what you need to accomplish.
Another thing you talked about is networking. What exactly is that?
Right. Networking to me is building and maintaining career relationships. So it really is getting to know people. It's less about you and more about the other person, which is the opposite of what most people think. People think networking is, I'm going to impress upon you how wonderful I am. That is not networking. People want to know that you genuinely care, that you want to know more about me, that you're focused, you're present, you're really listening. And so it's about building these relationships that over your career will open doors. For example, going back to informational interviews, when you're learning about different careers and what people are doing, that's the very first step that you can then continue getting to know that person. And I've done that many times. And then it's not that you're looking for a friend, but these people become resources to you, and they're referring people to you. Are there, sometimes I've had this happen to me, and you may have had it happen to you, where to me the highest compliment in your career is that somebody knows you and they are looking for someone on their staff or their team, and everybody's saying that you're the perfect candidate. What a wonderful feeling. Because they know you and because you have a relationship with them. The worst thing you can do in networking is only talk to people when you're looking for a job and use people. Everybody can see right through that. Or what a few people still continue to do that is really not a good thing to do is that I've lost my job or I'm about to lose my job, and I'm going to send a blanket email with my resume attached, and I'm going to send it to everybody I know and say, here's my resume, help me find a job. Because that just feels like you just dumped that responsibility in everybody else's lap when it's your responsibility to find that position.
And another thing about networking that I've noticed is people, they just collect business cards. Right. And they think, oh, yes, I just went to this meeting and I worked the room. I networked.
Right. So let's talk about working the room for a minute. Walking around and handing everybody your business card is not a good thing. I mean, you just wasted a lot of business cards doing that. Again, people will see right through that. It feels like you're using people. So let's take that a step further. And I'm going to talk about social media right now too, LinkedIn.
Please.
So you probably get LinkedIn invitations every day, just like I do. And for me, that's not networking. Unless you then pick up the phone and we have a conversation, and we talk and I learn more about you, and then we agree to meet. If we never have a conversation, we are not linked. So if you only want to link to me on LinkedIn because you want to tap into my connections, again, that feels like you're using the person. Networking really, I mean, you're talking about, it's instead of going broadly, go deep. And by that I mean when you go to a professional meeting, which I highly recommend, have a goal in mind. When you come in, my goal is to meet a minimum of 2 people. Could be a minimum of 4 people. And I'm going to have a 1 to 2 minute meeting with you. And I'm going to learn more about you. I'm going to ask open-ended questions. It's about you. It's not about me. Because it's that old Dale Carnegie rule is, if I'm listening and I'm genuinely concerned and really interested in you, you're going to think I'm very interesting, even when you're doing most of the talking. And then that begins the, I would call it, lays the foundation. And then we can start building from there and say, you know, Julie, I really enjoyed meeting you and learning more about you. I'd like to continue this conversation. Could we meet for lunch? Or could I come to your office and just see what you do and just visit? You know, it's something I've always wanted to do is to be in radio. And I'd love to learn more about that to see if that's something that's realistic for me. And you would probably say, you know, she's genuine and absolutely I'd want to help her. Or if it's not, if you can't do that, if you're not able to do it, that you could recommend somebody else I could meet with. So you now have opened a door for me. And then you continue having those conversations. And now when I see you at meetings, we have a relationship that has begun. And then we can continue that. That's the real way to begin networking. I find that many times people will only go to a professional meeting when their job is at risk or they've lost the job. If you look at the most successful people, they are networking and building relationships all the time. This is not, I'm looking for a job, it's just the right thing to do. So you make it part of your career strategy.
You mentioned LinkedIn, a professional social network, but how important is it to have a LinkedIn page?
It's very important now. For several reasons. One is employers, recruiters are sourcing candidates through LinkedIn. So you do want to have a professional page. And if you're currently employed, you want to be careful. You don't want to make it look like you're looking because your employer will see that. But you can still have your accomplishments on there. You can have your picture. You want to, people want to see what you've done. It's becoming harder and harder to attract and retain talent. You'll hear that a lot. And so from the employer's standpoint, they are out there looking at candidates. It's happening every day in every organization. So I might link to you and then you accept and the next thing you know, you're getting a phone call from me. And I may say, you know, we're about to lose our producer or our director or whomever that might be. And I'd like to talk to you to learn more about what you do and see if this is something either you're interested in or you might, this is how they present it, or you might know somebody who's interested. And if they catch you on a day when you're having a bad day, you may say, you know what, I want to learn more about this and see if that's an opportunity. Or you have a friend or a colleague or a family member who's looking and you say, I have the perfect candidate for you. That's networking too, is that you've referred somebody else.
Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know? Like one important piece of information?
I would say start with yourself. Really look at yourself from an honest perspective and say, what do I love to do? What am I good at? Where's my passion? What really speaks to me? And if it's not a career that exists, create it. People are doing this every day. I did this 17 years ago when what I'm doing did not exist the way it looks today. And follow your heart, follow your passion and your dream. And as we said earlier, you will find career success and happiness.
Please tell our listeners where they can go to get more information about you and your services.
Thank you. You can look at my website at careerchoicesunlimited.com. And you will see everything about me in a good biographical description, as well as my location and phone number.
Awesome. Well, Marilyn, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you as well for joining us today. See you next time.
You've been listening to First Coast Forum, a weekly public affairs program devoted to the top local issues in our community. If you have a comment or suggestion for a topic we should explore, our email is firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. That's firstcoastforum@coxinc.com. First Coast Forum is a production of Cox Media Group Jacksonville.